Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, Biden is working overtime to destroy America and our government as best he can. Kamala Harris is right there beside him, doing what is needed to hurt America. Now, the liberals are not going to see this, but all they have to do is really is just a look at what is going on and they'll see it. The Friday show last Friday was canceled and rescheduled because of the storm that we had come through here in Albuquerque the day before, and it blew our modem. And so I could not get online. I could not do anything. And I had to reschedule my show, and I wasn't exactly sure when they would come in to get it fixed. Got it fixed actually Sunday, but there was all kinds of things that were wrong. There was people all over this complex on this side of the building that got clobbered by that storm. A couple of people even lost televisions and everything else. I just lost one of my computers. The computer itself still works, but to get online, that's the part of it that was blown, and it don't work anymore, so I can't use it to get online anymore and go after my other stuff. But my two MacBook Pros are fine, but don't get online. I had to reschedule. And among the other things that I wanted to talk about today, I wanted to talk about last week, was the protest that was held here in Albuquerque against the tyrant governor, MLG, in which she came back and called all the protesters QAnon lizard people. And that is a quote. She wants to run this state. I suggest that she needs to grow up and realize that people are all not going to love her and her tyrannical ways. Well, after she called us all QAnon lizard people, she got a lot of backlash for that, and rightfully so. And it took her a week to figure out how to come back on this. And I've got that also. But during her re-election bid, where she actually had a get together with all of her supporters, her re-election bid actually went south as she both bizarrely called protesters who were out there drowning her out. They called her lizard people, or she called them us lizard people. And this was last Thursday. Embattled first-term Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham held her re-election announcement, and this is something I was going to announce last week, but it's apropos for today because it took her a whole week to come up with a solution for this, and in that solution are all kinds of lies. But she held her re-election announcement in Albuquerque at the Albuquerque Museum, where she was met with scores of protesters fed up with her extreme agenda, including locking down the state and pushing inoculations upon New Mexicans. The protest, which was hosted by multiple New Mexico activists, included signs reading things like, "No crotch-grabbing governor," "MLG is deeply mediocre and dumb," and "Alexa, new governor, please," among others. The protesters drowned out multiple speeches, including Democrat Representative Teresa Lager de Fernandez, Democrat Party of New Mexico Chair Jessica Velasquez, and Representative-elect Melanie Stansbury, who I talked about last week. Once Lujan Grisham took stage, the protesters with their bullhorns got louder and louder, drowning out the scandal-ridden governor's speech. In frustration, Lujan Grisham made a cringe-inducing comment claiming the protesters were lizard people. She said, I just quote, and this is a quote here, she said, I just have to say I'm sorry that we picked the same location that the QAnon lizard people meeting was at. Well, here's the problem with that. Us QAnon lizard people found out where she was going to have her announcement, and that is where we went. It doesn't matter on this whole thing. If she'd have picked some other place, we'd have found her. But she went on to say, we're going to do what we do best. We're going to protect New Mexico. And on that, I have to say, the only ones that she's protecting are her supporters. But she went on to say, and no amount of noise will deter, intimidate, or create a vacuum in leadership that makes an elite a difference for every single New Mexican this day and every day, Lujan Grisham said. Despite her reign as governor, which has decimated countless New Mexicans, Lujan Grisham was forced to cut her speech extremely short since the protesters successfully drowned her out. And I said, yay! Her controversy-driven tenure as governor has been marked with scandal after scandal after scandal, from forcing through the most far-left extreme bills through the legislature, paying off sexual accusers and her own daughter with campaign cash, and then misplacing $250 million in Workforce Solutions money. She has weakened her chance of reelection every day. She repeatedly skirted her pandemic rules to buy luxury jewelry, used taxpayer funds for fine wine and $200 a pound Wagyu beefsteaks, and berated local communities for not following her edicts, forced New Mexicans to stand in cold bread lines to get food and basic foods, find churches, of which mine was one of them, and businesses tens of thousands of dollars for alleged noncompliance, removed the National Guard from the border, and denied an immigration crisis, fired and hired cabinet secretaries on a dime, gave her staff hefty raises while New Mexicans lost everything, and she is giving away $10 million in New Mexicans' dollars through a lottery to bribe people to take the experimental virus inoculation. At Lujan Grisham's next campaign stop at John Dunn stop in Taos on Friday at 8 a.m., protesters will be there to greet the embattled governor as she tries to run for a second term. Now, here's the problem with that one. That one was canceled because now she was saying that we were not going to intimidate her, but apparently we did because she canceled the next one. But it took her a week to come up with a reason why she called the people lizard people. And the new headline claims, MLG claims she took the high road after calling protesters lizard people. And this was from June 11th. And it's actually today, but it says, on Friday, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham sent out an email to supporters trying to play the victim and erroneously claiming the protesters she called lizard people during her announcement speech tried to threaten her. Videos from the event prove otherwise, with people like Democrat former Lieutenant Governor Diane Danish, an avid Lujan Grisham supporter, getting aggressive with the protesters. So it was actually the other way around, folks. But of course, Lujan Grisham is now claiming that the lizard people tried to threaten her. No, they didn't. She said, quote, I've been able to start off my reelection campaign strong, even in the face of harsh pushback. During my reelection speech last week, I was interrupted by a group of disruptive and abusive protesters who threatened me, our supporters, and journalists covering the event. But I was undeterred because I know thousands of strong, caring grassroots supporters like you have my back. Unquote. She went even further, telling her supporters in the email, quote, I'll never be silenced by opponents aiming to disrupt democracy, and I will never stop fighting for New Mexico families. I know that our campaign represents real New Mexico values of fairness, equity for all, and hard work. Together, we're taking the high road, and we're going to win fair and square, unquote. Now, it is unclear what Lujan Grisham means by taking the high road, since she branded anti-MLG protesters as QAnon lizard people at the event. Lujan Grisham also claimed she would never be silenced, but she canceled an event in Española in fear of lizard people protesters. That cancellation came after she told supporters that she would not be intimidated. That proved to be a lie as well. And they've even come up with a new thing here. And it's the line at the bottom of this article says it all. It says, shop Lizard People 2022 gear from the official Pinion Post store. Now, if you click on that and go to that, they've got bumper stickers that show a little lizard on it, and it says, Lizard People 2022, defeat MLG. Then they've got a t-shirt that has a lizard on it, says, Lizard People 2022, and a hat. Same thing, Lizard People 2022, and they even got coffee cups. Man, I want one of these things. And they've got hoodies for Lizard People 2022, and then they've got one that has a lizard crawling across the front and says, defeat MLG. This is freaking great, people. And I know, I'm going to buy one of these bumper stickers that says Lizard People 2022 at defeat MLG, and I want to get one of those coffee cups, too. I think that's absolutely awesome. You go to Pinion Shop, PINON.SHOP/collections/lizard-people-2022. And you can get in there and buy some of this stuff. This is just awesome, I have to admit. But it took her a full week to come up with a reason why she said what she did. In that week, all she came up with was more lies. And you just can't make stuff up like this, folks. I am totally impressed with the Pinion Post here in Albuquerque. They are just awesome. And I really love the idea that they are doing this. And we will be right back.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it said that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face. And then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We'll be right back. Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. We are, last week we had a problem with a storm that came through here. Normally, when storms come through Albuquerque and they have a lot of lightning and thunder, it really doesn't go over the city like this last one did. And this last one was right over the top of this building that houses our apartment complex. And on this northwest side of the building, we got hit with a lightning strike that blew a lot of televisions, blew a lot of internet. In my house, it blew my second computer that I use to bring up my news, breaking news stuff and everything that I keep turned on for that purpose. And what happened was it blew the part of it that puts me online, and with that computer, it still works, but it will not go online anymore. My MacBook Pros are both fine, but it also blew our modem, so we were offline for a little while last week, and that's the reason why my show wasn't here. But there is just so much going on in this nation right now, and things are going on like Biden is threatening to lift the Iran sanctions, which he probably already has. But there is something that the Republican governors and legislatures have to understand, that they have some effective tools at their disposal if Biden does this. And it says a sixth round, and this one came from the National Review, that says a sixth round of indirect talks between the United States and Iran kicks off this weekend, which was yesterday, starting tomorrow, actually, in Vienna with President Joe Creepy Biden, still desperate to lift sanctions on the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism and rejoin a dangerous agreement that gives Iran future pathways to nuclear weapons. Now, this is something that the Democrats seem to like doing. Now, while Republicans in Congress are doing what they can to stop this slow-motion national security train wreck, they face an uphill battle with Democrats in control of the House and the Senate. In the short term, the power to prevent money from pouring into the mullah's coffers may instead rest with the Republican governors, who can leverage public pension investments and state banking regulations to limit Tehran's economic benefit. Last month, the Republican Study Committee unveiled the Max Pressure Act, putting most House Republicans on record opposing U.S. reentry to the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and pledging to reimpose maximum pressure on Iran whenever the power pendulum of Washington swings back to the GOP. In the Senate, a series of bills, resolutions, and letters signal a Republican caucus united against the Iran nuclear deal, with sanctions amendments to must-pass legislation still possible later this year. But the past few weeks have made something perfectly clear. Nothing will stop the Biden administration from lifting sanctions on Iran in the short term. Not the alarm sounded this week by the world's top nuclear watchdog that Iran is actively concealing undeclared nuclear activities and materials. Biden and the left don't care about that. As a matter of fact, they applaud it. Not the recent findings by a Canada court that Iran knowingly shot down a passenger airliner in 2019. Biden and the Democrats don't care about that. They applaud that. Not Iran's complicity in arming terrorist organizations and supporting violent attacks against Israeli citizens. Biden and the Democrats don't care about that. They applaud that. And not even the likely imminent selection of Ebrahim Raisi, a mass murderer, as the Islamic Republic's next president. What do the Democrats do when it comes to something like that? They applaud it. Biden apparently sent his special envoy for Iran, Rob Malley, to Vienna wearing rose-colored goggles. Malley will do whatever it takes to rescue an expiring flawed nuclear agreement that guarantees Iran's pathways to nuclear weapons, even lifting terrorism and missile sanctions on companies connected to Iran's Revolutionary Guard stormtroopers. Republicans in Congress will gripe. They will demand that Biden submit any agreement for review before lifting sanctions in accordance with the Iran Nuclear Agreement Review Act. But Biden could falsely claim the law doesn't apply since it's simply returning to a deal Congress reviewed in 2015. Legislation to prevent lifting sanctions may be blocked by Democratic majorities in each chamber. A months-long battle will ensue to attach an amendment to the annual defense authorization bill to reimpose terrorism sanctions on Iran. The widespread Republican opposition to Biden's Iran policy will undoubtedly create a chilling effect on long-term contracts and with investments in Iran. Few companies will want to repeat the experience of 2018, paying steep costs to extract themselves from deals when a Republican president reimposed sanctions. But foreign banks will still get a green light from the U.S. Treasury Department to process transactions in the near term, as will would-be supporters of Iranian energy and other commodities. That's where the Republican governors and state legislatures can play an outsized role in defending U.S. national security. Few Americans would think that their state government as a player in foreign policy, but governors know better. Unless they're like our tyrannical governor here in New Mexico, she won't care. States wield billion-dollar pension funds that invest in companies around the world. They contract with multinational corporations and require foreign banks to register with the state before they can open for business. That gives states enormous leverage in the realm of sanctions. This, of course, is not a new idea. During the Save Defer movement, states passed laws to divest their public pension funds from companies that invested in Sudan's energy sector. An Iran divestment movement followed, with states divesting their pensions from companies that helped Iran develop oil and gas. Since 2015, states have applied the same model to divest from companies that participate in the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, and sanctions, targeting Israel. As of late 2016, 31 states had some form of sanctions in place against the Islamic Republic. The mullahs understood the potential for these state laws to impede their access to foreign markets and insisted on language in the JCPOA committing the Obama administration to oppose such laws. In retrospect, however, these laws were far too narrow to create a serious economic deterrence during a period when the federal sanctions are suspended. The Iran pension divestment laws that states adopted in the late 2000s were modeled after the Iran Sanctions Act, a 1990s federal sanctions law that narrowly targeted investors of a certain dollar threshold in Iran's petroleum sector. It wasn't until 2011 that Congress began vastly expanding Iran's sanctions, targeting the Central Bank of Iran and blacklisting entire sectors of Iran's economy. The Trump administration built on that foundation, blacklisting additional sectors of Iran's economy that help finance terrorism and missiles. And that's the way it should work, folks. And the states do hold that power. But governors could get even more creative. Willie Sutton infamously said he robbed banks because that's where the money is. The same is true for effective sanctions policies target the banks and financial transactions. The state of Florida passed an Iran banking law in 2012 that required all chartered banks to certify that they did not engage in transactions with the Central Bank of Iran or other dirty Iranian banks. The hiccup. The list of those companies could be based on the U.S. Treasury Department sanction lists, which isn't much help as the Biden administration prepares to lift most of Iran's sanctions. There may be an easy fix for Florida and other interested governors. As it happens, foreign banks must apply to state regulators to open offices and establish representation. States could add a simple certification requirement for existing and future applicants. With an exception for trade in food, medicine, the bank must pledge it will not facilitate transactions with or for any entity in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Governors and state legislatures hold many levers to influence decision-making in C-suites around the world. The question is whether they will pull those levers to protect the security of the United States and Israel. World leaders must demand and, world leaders must realize that the states, each one of the states has that power. Now, the ones that are liberal, like New Mexico, can't expect them to do that because the governors want this to happen. They want the sanctions against Iran to end so Iran can start building the nuclear weapons. They're happy for that. But that's just one of those things that we have to start watching what our government is actually going to be doing. Because there's a lot of things going on here, folks. And the sad part about it is most people don't even know what is going on. And as long as our nation is that in the dark, things are going to get bad. Hopefully, things will start getting better before too long. But we can't really hope for that until Biden's out of office like he should be.
You are listening to NWCR Radio, where the truth rings free with the voice of reason in this very unreasonable world. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins. Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battle.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil fields and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. From Breitbart News, former ESPN commentator and ex-MSNBC host Keith Olbermann was triggered by Marlo, which is Alex Marlo, which Breitbart's editor-in-chief. This last couple of days, and throws a Twitter tantrum and attacks defenseless Andrew Breitbart. This man is a moron. This man is nothing more than a moron. The former ESPN commenter and ex-MSNBC host Overman was demonstratively triggered by revelations made in Breitbart News' editor-in-chief Alex Marlow's best-selling book, Breaking the News, Exposing the Establishment Media's Hidden Deals and Secret Corruption. Particularly, the expose's central revelations revealing the anti-American nature of the corporate press and their affection for the Chinese Communist Party and attacking late Andrew Breitbart. Corporate media isn't just... let me see if I can get my microphone moved up here. Isn't just an anti-conservative, they're anti-American. This is Breitbart. This is from the book Marlow wrote. They enjoy America's freedom of press while kowtowing to China's CCP politics. My book, Breaking the News, reveals this commie cash grab. Marlow wrote this on social media on Thursday, thanking radio host Glenn Beck for having him on his program this week. Olbermann, however, was clearly disturbed by the author's tweet of gratitude, although he was unable to debunk any of Marlow's assertions, devolved into a sequence of uninventive name-calling and baselessly smearing the late Andrew Breitbart. Of course they're going to smear Andrew Breitbart. Andrew Breitbart is dead. He can't do anything about it. So that's who the left is going to go after. That's who Keith Olbermann went after. And they had one that, it's like, Olbermann, however, was clearly disturbed. And in his tweet, he says, A, you're a moron. B, Breitbart was a drunken moron. Breitbart, and C, Breitbart is a dead drunken moron, he wrote. Alex Marlow wrote after that, corporate media isn't just anti-conservative. Hello, bringing it. Boy, good to see you there. They're anti-American.
they enjoy America's freedom of press. And this is what set off Keith Olbermann. It says, they enjoy America's freedom of press while kowtowing to China's CCP politics. My book, Breaking the News, reveals the commie cash grab. Thanks for having me at Glenn Beck. In an interview on the Glenn Beck program published this week, Marlowe discussed one of the central tenets of his New York Times bestseller, the corporate media's corruption and conflicts of interest related to the Chinese Communist Party. Barack Obama said yesterday, and this is a quote, that it's the right-wing media just doing it for the ratings and money, Beck said. It's just more insidious than that when it comes to the left and these giant corporations. They're selling their country out to be able to have China. It's throughout the establishment press, the ABC and NBC examples are the clearest because they've got such big entertainment interests in China, Marlowe explained. Let's say they did it. Deep dive on the origins of the coronavirus, and it turned out that maybe China was the bad guy after all, which we all know he was. And hopefully my microphone is working. I had it checked before I started the show, so it should be working, and that is where I'm at now. So if you can let me know if it's working or not. But even the outlets that don't have, don't have huge interest in China, the Atlantic magazine, for example, is owned by a lady named Lauren Powell Jobs, Steve Jobs' widow. She makes all her money from Apple and Disney. She is bankrolling the Atlantic with money from China. That's where Apple does so much of its business. That's where Disney does so much of its business. It's so stunning. China's tentacles and how much they're in virtually every corner of American media. And the media gets mad. You know, like Olbermann, he went batshit crazy. He called Alex Marlowe a moron, called Breitbart, who is dead, a drunken moron. And then he called him a dead drunken moron. Now, this is something that I get a kick out of. Because to me, when it comes to what the left thinks of us on the right, they don't understand that they're giving us a badge of honor. Because they are essentially forgetting about their jobs. Yeah. I reimagine if Apple manufactured here, iPads are be so expensive. They already are expensive, but we actually are. One of the things that I look at this a lot, you know, because I call what the left does to the right a badge of honor, because essentially what they're doing is they're forgetting to do their work so that they can humiliate all of us. It's like the tyrant here in New Mexico, when she started her bid for reelection, she got pissed off because there were protesters out there. And she apologized to the people that she was talking to for picking the same place as the QAnon lizard people did. Well, she needs to grow up, because if there's going to be protesters out there, they're going to know where she's going to go. They're going to protest where she goes. She didn't choose the spot that the protesters were at. Well, actually, she did. She chose the spot that she was going to be, and the protesters were there. But it took her, like I said before, it took her a whole freaking week to come up with a reason why she called us all that. And it's because, she said that it's because we, the lies build up, the left forgets that they started, but the right don't call them out. Well, we did this time, and he's right. Bringing It Boy is right. The right does not call out the left. And when they do, the left just comes completely unglued. You know, when the right here protested her and her policies, she got mad. And then it took her a week to figure out what she was going to say. And she essentially came down to the point where she was the victim. She was the one who was being harassed. She was the one who was being threatened. She was the one who had the protesters that were threatening her. No, they weren't. It was the ex-lieutenant governor of this state who was a staunch supporter of Lujan Grisham who went after the protesters. That's a totally different thing. It's not the protesters going after her. They were doing everything legally. They were protesting, and they stayed peaceful. It wasn't like these Democrat groups like Black Lives Matter, when they go out and mostly peaceful protests, when it's nothing of the sort. This was a peaceful protest. They just got loud, and the governor lost it. The way I look at this, the whole thing is, if she wants to be in the position of being the governor of this state or the governor of any state, she needs to grow the hell up. Because she cannot be the governor and have everybody love her. It ain't going to happen. And it's just like Gavin Newsom in California. He cannot expect everybody to love him because it ain't going to happen. And I've heard that, yeah, conspiracy theory is what is labeled after the right calls them out. Exactly. And conspiracy theory, they, you know, when it comes down to it, the last time I heard the word conspiracy theory was here in the state of New Mexico, and it was the governor who was blaming the right for conspiracy theories. But it's the left who pushes them. We get blamed for it, but it's the left that pushes them. And that is why I look at this as a badge of honor. I am right now doing everything I possibly can to get my third strike on YouTube so I can just forget about that account. And I've been saying some pretty iffy things, some pretty good things against our governor, against the Democrats, against all of this stuff, and it's not happening. It's kind of pissing me off because I keep thinking that they're going to give me my badge of honor and knock me off of YouTube, but they're not doing it. So I guess I'm just going to have to work a little bit harder on this one. But, you know, it's like Bringing It Boy says, it's clearer what the left does. It really is. Even though you're a supporter of Biden, or you're a supporter of MLG, or you're a supporter of Gavin Newsom or Whitmer in Michigan or Cuomo in New York, if you're a supporter of them and you say, oh, there's nothing there that he is doing wrong. Back in their minds, they're keeping it shut down, but back in their minds, they know. They know that we're right. You have men in suits coming to your door asking about my show, huh? Awesome. You can tell them I live in Albuquerque. That would be really great. They'd have to play heck trying to find me, though, because, well, I guess, I don't know, maybe not. That's funny. But you know, this whole idea that the Democrats get away with everything that they want to do, and they want to break our laws, they want to go against our Constitution, they want to go against, you know, the police, they want to defund the police, which is actually kind of funny because I ran across a story earlier this week about a town that is now going nuts because they wanted to defund the police, and now the police are not going to help them when they get threatened. Yeah, I think this is awesome. I really do. You know, and I was saying in one of my updates that, you know, if the Black Lives Matter, if they want to defund the police, fine. We'll get all of their names because we actually can. We actually probably have all their names. And if any one of them call for the police for something that is happening on their property because, you know, somebody breaks into it or something and they call the cops should just not even answer the phone. The cops should not even answer the phone. Just let them stew in their own juices. They're the ones who want the police defunded. So for them, they're defunded. They need the police. They don't exist. No, the governor in California reneged on the mask mandate since they are recalling him. And I know here in New Mexico, about 90% of the people outside still wear their masks. But it's gotten to the point where I am now going into Walmart or going into Albertsons or going into Target or any of these stores, and I don't get looks anymore from people because I won't wear my mask. I just won't do it. And there are stores that we go to that still have the signs up that say, you must wear your masks when entering the building or you can't come in. Well, I watch people go in without their masks and I'll follow them right in. And then when I'm in there, I'll say in a fairly loud voice, good to see your face. And I always get a smile and another comment back from them saying, yeah, it's good to see yours too. It's kind of funny, but this whole thing about masks, they're not healthy. And the governors who are pushing the mask mandates know this. Why do you think that they push the mask mandates? Like here in New Mexico, they'll push the mask mandates and then the governor will go out and do something without a mask on. Because they know they're not good for them. They know this, but they want control, and that's all there is to it. They want control over the people. And as long as they think they have control over the people, then they're going to just continue. And the people here in New Mexico, you go outside and you see people in a car with the windows rolled up, all alone, and they're driving with a mask on. This just blows me away. I mean, it's like our temperatures here have been 99 degrees. They've hit 99 a couple of times, which is really early in the year for that kind of heat. But it's really not that bad because the humidity's been like anywhere from 2 to 5%. So it's been really great. Bringing it, boys, has had to pull up to a car with a third guy wearing his mask, his inside the car, and ask him, is that gray poupon on his mask? this whole mask mandate thing is getting great. I absolutely love it because, you know, it's like our governor has find businesses for not making people wear their masks. They find churches, And several of the churches have actually paid that. Our church hasn't. And our pastor is still standing there saying, one of these weekends, you're going to come to church. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in jail because I am not going to do what she says, tells me to do. And to me, that's the kind of thing we need to be standing up for, you know. I know there's a lot of people who will not stand up to the governor. Hello, Joseph. How are you doing? Because they're afraid that they might get thrown in jail or arrested for not following the governor's so-called mandates. But the problem with that is that they're not state laws. She did not go through the right channels to make them laws. And most of the governors didn't. As a matter of fact, I'm almost sure almost all of the governors didn't. They just made these mandates and then expected the people to follow them. Well, here in New Mexico, there were so many stores that had all these signs out there saying that state law requires you to wear a mask. No, state law did not require anybody to wear a mask. You could go into a store without a mask on, and state law cannot do anything about it. It's up to the store itself, not state law. And I got a phone call here. I only got about 8 minutes left, but let me see. It says, hello.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to say, you know, as far as the state law goes, but, you know, it's really up to the respected business. But then again, you have the argument that says, hey, I don't leave my constitutional rights at the door. You know, it's open to the general public. So, therefore, where do you draw the line? It's a sticky issue, you know. I mean, because if I own a business, I should have the right to say, hey, I serve whoever I choose, you know. But then again, you know, if I'm open to the public, how do you address that? I mean, I think it's more or less if you're a public trading company or a corporation, then therefore your constitutional rights should always be observed. And if it's up to the individual and you're just a private small business, then you have your own choice.
Exactly. And, you know, that's what essentially what I was kind of saying, you know, it's not up to the state to tell you have to wear a mask. It's up to the businesses themselves. If the person owning the business says you need to wear a mask in my store, then you have to. But state law is not there.
Correct. You're correct. Correct. I agree with you 100% on that issue. But you can't tell that to some of these bubbleheads out there, you know.
And especially the one here in New Mexico. She's about as big a bubblehead as I've ever seen. And I'm not sure if you were here when I was talking about her, but she did a thing a couple of weeks ago when she put out her bid for a re-election. She called the people protesting her QAnon lizard people.
Unbelievable. Wow.
And then this week she came back and said she took the high road at that. When she called them lizard people, she was actually being threatened, and all the cameras and everything that was going at the plate disproved her on that. So she wasn't, and the person that was actually doing the threatening was a supporter of hers that was a previous lieutenant governor of the state. She was the one who was doing the violence and everything, but the governor was saying that it was the lizard people. Well, now the thing that's really great is there's a paper here in New Mexico that's called the Pinion Post, and they have opened up a store now, and they've got Lizard People 2022 Defeat MLGT t-shirts. They've got Lizard People 2022 Defeat MLG license bumper stickers and hoodies and coffee cups, and I'm going to give me some of these things. This is going to be great.
Well, you know, these politicians, you know, see, the people just got to realize control. Their job isn't there to control us. You know, we are the government. We, the people, run things. problem is, too, you look at common sense. What kind of people do we have out there in society today? They can't, you know, they can't govern their own families or they can't govern themselves. We have people that with no common sense. So, you know, what do you do?
Exactly.
I mean, you can't legislate morality.
That is absolutely the truth, but they still try anyway.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely correct. Well, I know you're going here, but thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Go ahead and put me back on mute. I'll listen to the end.
Okay. God bless you. Okay. We are towards the end of the show. I was going to do a two-hour show today, but because of everything that happened this last week, everything just kind of fell apart on me. And losing one of my computers, so I can't actually even get online to do the stuff that I need, that I usually do when I'm doing my show. I've got to get that computer fixed now. My other computer is got so much stuff coming into it right now that I can't even keep up with it. So I have to get that other computer fixed. But I am right now heading towards the final few minutes of the show tonight. I'm glad that Bringing It Boy was here and Joseph Gibson and the guy that called in, that is great, and my normal person that usually calls in, and I'm glad that he was here too. Did you have any update? Did I have update went down today? Today, no, I didn't. Yesterday, I did. I did one yesterday, and I lambasted our governor on that one, I think. I can't really remember what I said, but it's there on Rumble and on BitChute under removing the liberal blindfold. NWCR is removing a liberal blindfold, and then I have it on Brightian now, and Brightian's actually kind of interesting because it's the one that they've come up with now, and it's Brighton, and they are there if you value your First Amendment rights and things like that. They're the ones to go to because they will not shut you down for things that our, you know, YouTube does. So I've been putting them there, but I cannot post from Brightian to Facebook because it won't allow me to. But Facebook hits me with this thing that says it's something that they're not, that they don't allow. So of course they won't allow it because, you know, that's just one of those things. They won't shut down conservative speech, but they also won't shut down liberal speech either. So that's the way it needs to be. Now, if you want to have a good, clean conversation between people, let both sides speak. But the media won't. YouTube won't. Facebook won't. Twitter won't. I've been shut down on Twitter for talking about Hunter Biden. So it's pretty awesome. But, you know, it's like I said, I've been trying to get myself knocked off of YouTube for a while now, and I've got two strikes. I'm just waiting for that third one. And as soon as it's gone, then I won't have to worry about it anymore. But I'm got that account with Brightian and with BitChute and Rumble. So I figure I've got my stuff out there enough, but we will be back here next week and have the full 2 hours next week. But we want to say God bless you all. God bless America. God bless our troops. And we will talk to you next week, and we shall not be ruled. Have a great day.